The paper that is being given to you is basically written by Nancy Lee DeMoss. I have not added any words on your paper. I have taken some of it away to make it fit better on those pages, but left a good portion of it. As you're getting the papers, you'll notice that the title of it is How to Get the Most Out of Your Pastor's Preaching. I'd like to change that, though, a little bit. Any preacher. Get the most out of anybody's preaching. Not just the pastor, but anybody that's up front. And it could also go for the Sunday school teacher. These principles, the things that she's mentioning, apply to anybody that is before us, giving us spiritual food or opening up God's Word to us. So, take it and allow it to penetrate into the heart. I believe that the things that she has to say are some very vital aspects. Maybe some things that we've forgotten or some things that we've failed to record for ourselves within our own mind. So how to get the most out of the preacher's preaching? She starts off by asking the question, do you ever find yourself? Do you ever find yourself waking up on Sunday morning wishing you didn't have to go to church? Somebody said not too long ago that this Sunday would have been a good one to sleep in. Maybe today would have been. You know, those rainy, dreary, cool days are the kind you like to just stay tucked under the covers. So we probably all would have to answer yes to that. Sometime or another. Did you ever find yourself having a hard time staying awake in church? I didn't add that. That was already there. And again, we probably all have had to face that sometime or another. Sometimes the circumstances were unavoidable. Sometimes our circumstances we brought on ourselves. Do you ever find yourself daydreaming during the message or making a mental to-do list while the pastor or preacher is preaching? Do you ever pick apart the message or the preacher in your mind or not getting anything out of the sermon? Here's a good one, isn't it? Do you ever find yourself wishing your pastor would be more, you can fill in the blank, understanding, compassionate, loving to his wife, whatever. You can fill in that blank. Do you ever find yourself wishing your pastor would be more something? Do you ever find yourself forgetting what the message was about before you get home from church? Somebody tell me what the message was about this morning. Rainbows. What about the rainbow? No, we're not going to re-preach it. I'm not going to have you re-preach it, okay? Sometimes I may forget what I preach by the time I get home. Do you ever find yourself in that place? But here's a very, very good statement. If we're not benefiting from the ministry of the Word, no matter who it is that we're sitting under, if we have come to God's house, and if we are not benefiting from the ministry of the Word as it is publicly proclaimed in our local churches, the fault may not lie in the one proclaiming the Word. It may lie in our readiness to hear, receive, and respond to the Word. That last sentence is a very weighty sentence. It's very important for us. It's not just a matter, well, the preacher can't hold my attention. The preacher can't get my attention. The preacher isn't listenable. And I realize that coming from our perspective, sometimes we find ourselves in that place. But it's not the preacher that we've gone to hear, or it ought not to be. It's the Word of God proclaimed. And when we go thinking that the preacher's responsibility is to move us, then we have not properly prepared or readied our mind to hear, receive, or respond to the Word. So then how can we prepare ourselves? How do we bring our heart into a point of preparation to get the most out of preaching? There's things to do before the service. The first thing that is a good thing to do before the service is to pray for the preacher. This particular one says, pray for your pastor as he prepares for Sunday. Not every preacher, not every pastor has the same schedule in preparation. I don't know if my dad would still do it, if he were still in the pulpit full time or not, but I remember as a child, he would not go to bed Sunday night until he knew what he was to preach next Sunday. Sometimes it seemed like Dad stayed up fairly late on Sunday nights. Now, Sunday nights, I'm tired. I'm ready to go to bed. Don't always sleep, but I'm ready to go to bed. But I do know that the sooner the Lord gives me clarity on next Sunday's message, the better off I am in preparation as well as, I believe, in delivery. You say, well, what does that have to do with us? It has a lot to do with you, because you can pray that the pastor might be able to prepare for Sunday in a proper way. That the Lord would be able to speak to him personally through his word. And you can also pray that the preacher will respond to that leadership of God's word with humility and obedience. Vital aspects of the person doing the preaching. But you can pray for that. Pray that God would be able to help him or help her, whoever it is doing the speaking, to communicate truth. Communicate it with clarity, with freedom, with passion, and with power. Pray for your pastor or the preacher as he prepares for Sunday. The next one, the number two, if your pastor is preaching a series from a particular book, you say, well, he doesn't do that. Well, listen up here, just take it a little bit further. Then take the time during the week to read aloud and meditate on the text. It may not be a particular book that a series is being done. Maybe it's a topic, and you can prepare yourself by meditating on that topic. Preparing your heart before God for what He would have in the message to come. Well, you say, wait a minute, that's homework. And when I graduated from high school or college, I gave up the homework thing. Some of you are smiling real big on that. And I understand that. That's one of the reasons why I haven't gone back to school. Homework is tough. But it's good for us in our mental preparation for what God has for us in the next setting, the next service. Number three, prepare for public worship the night before. That's a good idea. That's a real good idea. Now, Ms. DeMoss wrote, and further underneath that particular heading, turn off the TV. Now, that may not be our situation, but something very similar or even much different from that could be a factor that we need to turn off on a Saturday night. She also said that not only should we turn things off on Saturday night so that we can prepare ourselves for public worship, but she also mentioned that we should limit our social activities. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff that we could really build into that. As we come into Saturday evening and thinking about the Lord's Day the next day, what are we doing? Are we preparing our mind for Sunday worship, or are we still going full speed ahead at the close of the week? If we are going to receive the full benefit out of what God has for us on Sunday morning or Sunday night, then we are going to have to prepare ourselves beginning on Saturday evening. I grew up with the idea, and I've shared it with you before. You've heard me say it a number of times, that we can desecrate the Lord's Day on Saturday simply by all of the stuff that we fill in there, and then Sunday morning our mind is exhausted. Maybe our body is exhausted, and we're not able to receive what God has for us. Number four, ask God to prepare your heart for the preaching of the Word. Preparing your heart. You remember what Jesus had to say in the parable of the soil? There were four types of soil. Do you ever stop on Saturday night or Sunday morning? Do you stop before the right before the preaching? Has it ever come to you to stop right before the preaching and ask God to help your soil to be good soil? I don't want rocks in my soil when I'm trying to receive seed. I don't want thorns to be growing up. I don't want the birds to come because I've trampled things down so much through the week and I've been so busy through the week that I cannot focus, and so the seed just bounces off the ground and the birds gather it up. But ask God to prepare our heart. Without making it sound like we believe in a sinning religion, it would include repenting of sin. If God spoke to us about something, get that cleared up before you know about it beforehand. Get it cleared up beforehand. Now, if you need to make a public confession of it at the altar, that's fine. At the end of the service, you choose to come to the altar or sometime, that's fine. That's fine, but don't sit in service. When you know that there's something there, don't sit in service and allow it to fester while you're sitting there not able to receive. Your heart's not prepared. Your heart's not prepared if you're still focused on all the trauma of your week. Now, I realize that that's difficult. If you've had some trauma through the week, if you've had some difficulties through the week, if you've had some troubles, it's hard to focus. I understand that. I've been there. I realize that it's easier for me to focus on the preaching because I'm focused on the preaching. You're sitting there listening, but I've sat where you sit, and I understand that there's sometimes that it's hard to really get focused in because of everything else, and our heart just hasn't been prepared. Number five, or let me back up here, number four. I think a songwriter wrote it down and penned it, something about open our eyes, Lord, open our ears, open our mind. It's a good thing to use in our preparation of our heart. Number five, ask God to give you a sense of anticipation. It's one of the best things in a church when people come with anticipation. When people come anticipating what God has in store, what God's going to do, how God's going to move, what God is going to provide. Anticipation. Number one, come to church asking God to meet with you. That's part of anticipation. Come to church asking God to meet with you. Number two, ask or expect to hear from Him. Expect to hear from Him. And number three, be different when you leave. Can we hear from God and not be different? If we expect to hear from Him, then we're going to expect to be different when we leave. What about during the service? Those are things that we can do prior to the service. What are some things that we can do during the service? Number one, participate. Participate in the service. You need to be there. You're not going to get a whole lot out of church unless you're there. I am not one of those that opposes online church services or recordings of services. There are some who cannot go to church, and those things are of great spiritual benefit to people who are unable to attend church. I know of a church that just recently went through a split, and a lot of it began when they began to video their services for shut-ins to review or to watch later. It may be hard for some people to get a hold of and to accept, but why split a church over spreading ministry to people who are shut in? You say, well, they could just record it audibly and not have to worry about video. That's true, they could. But it's also good for people to be able to participate by viewing that cannot come. Technology allows it. But when we can go, we need to be there to participate. I heard a Baptist preacher, Brother Johnny Jones, say that the verse of Scripture in Hebrews that says, forsaking or not assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, he said that really means when you forsake God's house, it really simply means that you could have gone but didn't. Didn't give any further explanation. So if that's truly what it means, we could have been there but we just didn't go, then that's a guilty mark under our name of forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Participate during the service. Number two, get to church early enough to spend a few minutes before the service, quietly preparing your heart for worship. You've heard me say before, spend 5 minutes in prayer. 5 minutes for the service. You don't have to pray around the world for all the missionaries. Pray for the service. Pray for myself. Pray for the needs that you may have. Pray that God will speak to us personally, individually. Focus it in. God, here am I. Speak to me. Help me. Pray before the service, quietly preparing your heart. Pray for God to move. Pray for God to move on the pastor. There's nothing wrong with praying that God will move on the pastor. You think he's dead? Pray that God will move on the pastor. It's as simple. Pray that God will move on yourself, your heart. Pray that God will move on other people's heart. And while you're praying for yourself, surrender your heart to whatever God would have to say to you. Number three, don't be a spectator. Spectator comes and sits like a bump on a log. That's what I always heard. Bump on a log. What's a bump on a log? I guess it's somebody that comes and doesn't do anything in the service. When there's singing going on, sing. When there's praising going on, praise. When there's praying going on, pray. Does it hurt me to say when there's giving going on, give? It's all part of worship. Is our giving an act of worship? Do we do it as an act of worship? A participation or an activity that causes us to worship. Number four, while the sermon is being preached, open your Bible and follow along. I do not know how. I never learned. After having three children in our home, three babies, I never learned how to sit the child on my knee and feed it at the dinner table and feed me at the same time. But you women, you can do it over and over again. Now, that's not the same, though, as sitting that child on your knee and leafing through the Bible while the preacher's preaching, referencing verses of Scripture here and there. I don't know that you can do that effectively. But if you have an empty lap and a Bible sitting nearby or on your lap, follow. There's been times that I've been known to quote the wrong Scripture or the wrong reference to the Scripture. And if you're watching, you won't become confused. Say, well, I thought that was over here. Because the preacher said it. open your Bible and follow along. Look up the references. Number five, listen attentively to the reading and preaching of the Word. Listen attentively. Can you imagine that? What does the word attentively mean? Couldn't we just say listen to the reading? I can listen to somebody talk and not hear a single word they're saying. Especially when it's certain people talking. Or a certain person talking. My grandfather did not want to get hearing aids. He did not want to have to hear what Grandma was saying all day long. But we say that we should be attentive to those words. What about God's Word is being preached? What about the reading or the preaching of God's Word? Find down in the Making It Personal section, there's a verse of Scripture that comes out of Nehemiah where they sat for hours listening as Nehemiah read from the law. Did you get that? Hours listening to the Pentateuch. That's probably all they had. And they sat listening for hours as it was read. And the context appears that they were attentive. They were listening, hearing, and not just allowing it to wash over them. Being attentive to the reading. Some people don't like this, but try to make eye contact with the preacher. Sometimes when you make eye contact with the preacher, you may have the feeling that he's preaching at you. And some of you probably feel that way too, because I tend to make contact, more eye contact with people who are making eye contact back. Can I mention? No, I won't mention anybody's names. But I get the feeling that I wonder if they're feeling that. That I'm preaching at them when I'm not deliberately preaching at them, but I feel like there's a connection there, and so it makes it easier to preach. Most of the time we probably think that when contact is made over and over again that it's guilty, but it could just simply be it's a yes face. I'm listening, I'm connecting, I'm hearing, I'm alert, I'm focused, I'm paying attention. Number six, listen humbly to the preaching of the Word. Ask the Lord to make it fresh. Ask the Lord to make it fresh. If your heart is humble, your focus won't be on evaluating the message or how it's delivered. You'll let the message evaluate you. That's a good statement too. Not focused on evaluating the message or the messenger, but allow the message to evaluate us. Number seven. Take notes. Jot things down that the Lord speaks to you about. Highlight the points that the Spirit applies to your heart or to your life. Take those notes home and look at them again. Some people can't effectively take notes in church because it draws your mind too far away. But you can have a piece of paper and a pen handy so that when something does come, the Spirit deliberately or clearly speaks to you about something, you can jot that down. I know that there's been a powerful message that has gone because I was too lazy to get out of bed in the wee hours of the morning, in the middle of the night, to jot something down. And then I got up the next day and it was all gone. But at the moment, it was a powerful message that would have just moved congregations hither and yon. But I didn't write it down, so it was gone. It was lost. That's the way we can be in the pew. We hear something, we receive something, and we failed to write it down. We failed to make a clear mental note, and so we get outside and it's gone. Number 8, don't make your pastor or preacher a prisoner of unrealistic expectations. Your pastor doesn't have to be mesmerizing, entertaining, dramatic, or tell a lot of stories to be effective. The power, listen to this, the power is in the truth, not the messenger. I realize that it does take a messenger to make the truth come more alive to us at times. But if our heart is fully prepared, then it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. The messenger. Because the power is fully in the truth of the message. What can we do after the service? Number 1, ask God to give you at least one takeaway from the message. Something that you can take home. A key concept, a phrase, a verse that you can review throughout the week. Again, it takes jotting it down, perhaps, for us to remember. But ask God to give you at least one takeaway from the message. Number 2, while it's still fresh on your mind, before you leave church, on the way home from church, over the meal following the service, discuss the message with others. But now look at the last sentence there. There's a clarification about what you're supposed to be discussing. I know the Sunday dinner table is a great place to eat preacher for that meal. It's not so much discussing the preacher, but share how God spoke to you. Does that make you uncomfortable sharing with your family, those gathered around the table, how God spoke to you specifically in that service? It might be good for us to try it. While it's still fresh on your mind, share it with somebody else. And when you share it with somebody else, it becomes more personal then. Number 3, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Apply what you heard to real life. Everyday circumstances, situations throughout the week, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Make it personal. There's a whole list of things here that you can take home for a homework. Yeah, a whole bunch of stuff here for homework. But let's look at just the first few of them here. Do you highly esteem, respect, and reverence the Word of God? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Do you suppose that why that's why or that's why we've sort of had a tradition of standing for the preaching of or the reading of God's word prior to the preaching? If a text is being used prior to that, we stand for that reading. Perhaps that's it right there. Shows the humility and the respect for what God's word has to say for us. Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The second one, do you prepare your heart to hear the word of God? Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The next one is, do you find delight in hearing the word proclaimed? There wasn't any scriptures listed with that one, but there's a lot that we could look at. Thy law is a delight over and over again is recorded in scripture, through the Psalms especially. The next one, do you listen attentively when the word is being read or preached? Here it is, Nehemiah 8:3, and he read therein from the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Psalm 85:8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. listen attentively to the word. The next one, do you expect God to speak to you every time you hear his word proclaimed? Do you expect God to speak to you every time? That's a powerful question. Do you have a teachable spirit? Psalm 25:9, the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Do you tremble at the word of the Lord? Isaiah 66:2, for all those things hath mine eye made, and all those things hath been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Ezra 9:4, then were assembled unto me every one that trembleth at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. There's a trembling at the word of God. What we can do to prepare ourselves to hear from heaven. A little bit of homework to take home. Try it, you might like it. Let's stand together this evening. Trust you have a good week this week and enjoy God's blessings. Lord willing, we'll see you Wednesday. Let's come back to hear about missions, trusting that God would go with us as we go from here tonight. Praise God. Sister Faye Albright, would you dismiss us in prayer?